And would you give a, please, a big TLC welcome to Greg Moore.
Thank you, Pastor Tom. Appreciate you. Praise God. Okay, let's give a bigger applause to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's great to be here, and I was looking around for a little bit. I didn't know who he was announcing. But I'm not that special. Jesus is a special one. We really all have great things that God wants to use in our lives. Amen. Now, how many of you are glad to be here today?
Amen.
How many of you would rather be here than the best hospital in town?
Yes.
The best jail in town?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've got some things on the way here. I just wanted to share a couple of things that God spoke to me, and then I want to share some things about the church. There's someone here who has a strained relationship with a parent, and God's going to restore that. Okay? Is there someone that wants to be humble enough to admit who that is? You have a strained relationship. It's not where it needs to be with a parent in your life. Who is that?
It could be me.
Okay. Well, do you have
I do not speak with my father for a really long time.
Okay.
I have peace.
Right, but God wants to restore that. Okay? And he's going to show you how you can open the door and heal that. And it may be through, tangible acts of love. But it may be just through asking for forgiveness over something without referencing his, offense towards you. But all I know is that God said he's restoring and he's reconciling a relationship that's not been right. And so, Father, we just agree with our sister. And Lord, it's your will, Father, to restore the father's hearts to the children of the fathers. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for giving her wisdom about how to bridge that gap, how to let the love of God flow through her. And even sending laborers, Lord, to her, is it your dad? To her dad, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you don't have to kick the door down. But you just need to be in faith that he said he wants to do that. And so you just listen to him and follow him, okay? And then, so there's also two people here, and your relationship with one of you is with a son, another was with a daughter. That's not where it needs to be. And God said he's restoring that. So who wants to be humble enough to admit that? Okay, praise God. Well, there's a number of you. All right. Why don't you just stand and let's just agree together, okay? All right. In my message, I'm going to share some scriptures. Listen to me, okay, before I pray. In my message, I'm going to share some scriptures with you that we stood on that brought our son, who was a prodigal, back home. And so I want you to write those scriptures down, all right? Because God said he, 1 Corinthians 3:5, that's one of them. God sends laborers, ministers to every man whereby they might believe. And so we're going to believe that God's going to send laborers to your children, but he's also going to heal those relationships. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these. And we just pray for divine appointments and divine connections, Father, with their son, with their daughter, and we pray for complete healing, complete restoration, Father, like it's never been before, Father, that it's better than before, and we thank you, Father, for showing each of these their part in that, in Jesus' name, amen,
amen.
Now listen, guys, it's We agree. God said it. How many of you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, but then you got to put action to what you believe. That means there's going to be things that God puts on your heart, and it's going to sound crazy to you, but the Bible talks about we don't overcome evil with more evil. We overcome evil with good. So no matter what your son or daughter has done, okay, you're going to overcome that. God's going to with His love. He's going to show you some tangible things to do. Now they may not respond initially, all right, but it's your acts of faith that's going to open and a love. It's going to open the door and it's going to heal that relationship. Amen. Father, we thank You. Let's just lift our hands and thank You. Father, we thank You for these relationships that are being restored. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I want to hear back from you. You know, let your pastors know. Okay, I want to hear back from you because God's going to do this. Now, it could be, so for some of you, it may be, you know, very quickly. Some of it may be a while. But I'm telling you, there's a suddenly coming for you. Amen. Don't you give up. All right. Praise God. So where's the worship team that's here? The worship team. Where are y'all at? Y'all stand up. Okay. Listen.
Do you want me to get the drummer?
Well, you know what? You just tell him. Just pass this on. So God's pleasure is so much over your lives. You know, Janice and I travel all over. Large churches, small churches, medium-sized churches, whatever. But I'm not just saying words here. I'm telling you, the Father's heart is pleased with your worship, just the simplicity of your worship. Don't let anybody, especially talking to you, what is your name? Delise?
Elise,
don't let anybody mess you up. Don't with trying to get you perfect. And I mean, it's all right for you to grow technically and all that, but the simplicity of your worship is it just blesses the Lord's heart.
Yes.
And don't let somebody try to change you and try. It's not about performance.
Yeah,
it's not about smoke machines. It's skinny jeans, fog machines.
Yeah.
Okay, and skinny jeans. It's our holes in the jeans. I mean, it's all right if you wear that. But it's not about performance. And what you guys have here, and then I want to speak to the entire church, what you guys have here is pure, it's simple, it blesses the Lord. Your worship of Him blesses Him. And so don't let anybody mess that up. Because what you have is just very, very precious to the Lord. And so... I just want you to receive and accept God's pleasure over you. Amen? Praise God. And over this church. So let's thank Him. Amen? Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then, you know, you guys have the real deal in your pastors. I mean, thank God for the angels of this house that God has birthed. You wouldn't be here if they hadn't obeyed God. And... thank God for them. Pray for them. Bless them. How many of you are good sheep? Everybody say, bah, bah. Yeah, everybody say, I'm not a goat. Say, you know what goats do, don't you? You know what goats do, don't you? They butt. Yeah, I love my pastor, but. I love my husband, but. I believe by His stripes I'm healed, but. Whatever's on the other end of your butt is what you really believe. What you want to do is butt the facts with the truth.
Yeah.
I may not feel well, but, okay? Anyway, be a blessing to these guys. Lift the, and I'm not saying that you haven't been, but be intentional. Lift their arms up. Give them encouragement. Send them an email every once in a while and let them know how much you appreciate them. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So, all right. Open your Bibles wherever you'd like.
It's all good.
That's all good stuff. I'm going to be in Jeremiah 29. I actually had planned to teach on one thing, and I just have this message really, really strong, downloaded for this church. So I want to obey God and do that. All right? So let me tell you a funny first. Is that all right? This is called the best candidates for surgery. So three surgeons are discussing among themselves who makes the best patients to operate on. The first surgeon said, well, electricians are the best because everything inside them is color-coded. The second surgeon said, no, I think librarians are the easiest to operate on because everything inside them is in alphabetical order. The third surgeon shut them both up with his assessment. He said, you're both wrong. He said, politicians are the easiest to operate on. There's no guts, no heart, no brain, and no spine. Plus the head and bottom are interchangeable. Oh, man, that's funny. I don't care who you are right there. That is funny. Praise God. Okay. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Okay. So Jeremiah 29:11, this is a favorite verse of a lot of people. I tell you what, just before I read it, I want to give some product away, okay? Because I have some product back here, and I had planned to teach on healing today, but I'm going to go a different direction, and people will be healed. But is there somebody that needs healing in your body, okay? Is that you, sister? Okay, so this is my CD series called Fundamentals of Healing. If you know the fundamentals of football or baseball, you'll be successful. If you get away from the fundamentals, you're not going to accomplish much. And it's not a bunch of trick plays. If you understand the and my CD series, I have the teaching outline in it, so you could teach from it. Okay, and so then I have the best book that I've ever written on healing. It's also the only one. It's called Your Healing Door. I was healed of cancer. My son Michael, who is Andrew's daily television producer, was healed of muscular arthritic condition. And we've had people in our church that were healed by different... Jesus always heals. He doesn't heal the same way. These are just 12 different methods that Jesus heals. So which one would you like, ma'am? You want the CDs? Okay. And who else needs... healing. Is it Lorna? Okay. So let me give her this book. Okay. And then this is my newest book called Walking in Wisdom. This is really the message of my life is making the right decisions. And a good decision is not a difficult decision is not a choice between good and evil. It's between good and gooder, right? And it's knowing Galatians 6:2 says we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? Okay. Verse 5, it says every man's to bear his own load. Well, which one is it? I said, which one is it? Do we show mercy or do we show tough love? Both. But not in the same situation. Some it depends on people's hearts. And you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. It takes wisdom to know what principle of the Word to apply. So who would admit to me that you're really not a lot, you need wisdom? Okay, our sister back here, yeah, come on. All right, okay. All right, now Jeremiah 29:11, and we have more of those back there. More product back there. So, Jeremiah, and you can get that at after the service. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. And that word peace also includes prosperity and success, and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many of you know that the Lord's got a future, a destiny, a plan to fulfill for each one of us? God's got a plan and a future for you. And COVID hasn't stopped it. Amen. The government's not going to stop it. What God has for you, He will yet fulfill if you'll agree with it. Amen? And you know, you need to understand God's got a plan for you. He's got a future for you. He's got a future for Testament of Love Church. And it's bigger and gooder and better than what you're experiencing today. Amen? I see God breaking out walls and this place expanding and where you may have need to have more than one service. But the bottom line is there's people out there that need the ministry of Testament of Love. God's got a future for you. And I don't care how, don't give me this stuff about, you know, I'm too old. Okay? I'm just, you know, yeah, I know He had a future for me, but I'm, you know, 70 or I'm 80 or I'm whatever. Listen, I've got a scripture for you. Okay, maybe you could put this up, Psalm 39:5. I've got a scripture for someone here who thinks they're too old and they're washed up. Psalm 39:5. Indeed, you've made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. So put that in your I'm too old pipe and smoke it. I've got another passage, but you don't need to turn there. But John, how many of you know John the Apostle? Okay, in the book of Revelation, John the Apostle, he was 90 years old. Okay, and he was on the Isle of Patmos, in a place of isolation, a place of limitation, and a place of old age. And you know, he walked with Jesus. He ministered with Jesus. He saw miracles. Tradition says he pastored the largest church in the world at one time. But now he's 90. Now he's in a place of old age. Now he's in a place of limitation. He's in a place of isolation. And yet Jesus came to him there. And that he could have started the T-shirt factory that said been there, done that, heard that, know that. Okay? But Jesus visited him in that place of old age. Jesus visited him in that place of isolation and limitation, and he gave him a new assignment. Yeah. It was a book of Revelation. God's not done with you. I said he's not done with you. Look at your neighbor and say he's talking to you. God's not finished with you. Don't give me this excuse about old age. All right, maybe you can't do what you once did, but God's got new assignments for you. You're not too old. Are you breathing?
Yes.
Okay. Then God's not done. He's got a plan for you. He's got a future for you. So you start, if you draw a finish line for your life, a self-imposed finish line, when you cross it, you're dead while you're still breathing. God's got a plan for you. He's not done with you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And I'm speaking specifically to Testament of Love Church and you individually. No matter what your past has been, no matter how many times you've messed up, that doesn't exempt you from the future that God has for you. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And you know, your future. Well, I had a friend of mine went to Mardi Gras one time, and so this gypsy met him, and it said psalm reader, right? Or palm reader. I got ahead of my funny, but anyway, but it said palm reader, and she said, "Would you like to know your future?" He said, "I know mine. Would you like to know yours?" And he witnessed to her, and so he got an idea. Said a palm reader. He went down the block, and he put up a sign in a little booth that said psalm reader. And people came by, and he started reading them the word. And it was awesome. But look, guys, your future is so bright you've got to squint to see it. And you don't have to die sick.
Amen.
Okay? God wants you well, and He's got a future for you. Okay? And your future consists of thoughts you haven't thought yet, words you haven't spoken yet, actions you haven't taken yet, and circumstances you don't know yet. And 3 out of 4 of those you can control. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions. You can control that. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And God, what God wants is He wants us to bring forth our future. You and I can move into our future. How many of you want to, when you get to heaven, how many of you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? And you don't want to hear, well? And I got news for you. You're not going to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to, when you get to heaven and stand before the Lord, you're not going to be able to use the excuse about that hypocrite in church. If you let a hypocrite stand between you and God, guess what? That hypocrite's closer to God than you are. I'm sorry about the hypocrites, all right? But God's got a plan for you. And you can't let yourself get offended and accomplish the will of God. How many of you want to move into your future? How many of you remember the movie Groundhog Day? Anybody remember Groundhog Day? So Bill Murray was the actor in that movie, and he was the jerk guy that was the TV guy, and he went to the place in Pennsylvania where they started Groundhog Day, and he Punxsutawney, okay, and so he was just such a jerk, so self-focused and self-absorbed and treated people terribly, and remember he woke up after the Groundhog Day, he woke up hearing Sonny and Cher sing again, "I Got You, Babe," remember, and he woke up in the same day, every day. And first of all, he responded in shock. And then next in self-indulgence. Remember, he just ate everything. And then in frustration, then depression, where he gave up on life. Then he was still woke up the next day, Sonny and Cher singing, "I Got You, Babe." And then in the same day. And then he moved into self-improvement, learning Russian and ice sculpting, remember? Okay, and then finally he had some kind of epiphany. He got a revelation that caused him to realize what life was really all about, and that's self-sacrifice. Since he knew what the day was going to bring forth, if he gave himself to help other people, you know, then he said, you know, I might as well at least be a blessing to others. And it was only then that he moved into the next day. Are you hearing me? It's an important lesson that you and I need to learn from. We can either bless our day or we can curse our day. We can make the most of a bad situation, or we can whine. And I've got a sign on my desk that says no whining. And or we can, you know, blame shift and get upset at other people and all of this. But you know, here's the problem. You'll end up, if you live like that, you're going to get stuck like Chuck in a Groundhog Day of your own making. And you're not going to move into your future. And there are people who get offended, they've walked in unforgiveness, and they get stuck in a time warp of their pain. And they've got their own violin they play and tell everybody about how bad it is. And how bad somebody's done me wrong. Well, I got news for you guys. You're not going to be able to do that when you stand before the Lord. And so you might as well get unstuck now.
Right.
I've had stuff happen to me. Has anybody ever betray you or talk bad about you or persecute you? Anybody like that? I'm going to have an altar call for liars for the rest of you. Okay? I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry for what they've done, to what someone else has done to you. But look, guys, what someone else has done to you is not greater than what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
What Jesus? How many of you want to get unstuck?
Yes.
Okay? You have to learn to value the cross greater than your pain and loss. You've got to value what Jesus did for you more than what someone did to you. Or you'll stay stuck like Chuck in a time warp of your pain. Are you hearing me? And you can, I'm not going to turn over there, but in Matthew 24, Jesus gave us the downward spiral of people who get offended. He said, in the last days, many will become offended. And there's a difference between an offense that comes and then you becoming offended. An offense that comes, you can't control. But you becoming offended is a spiritual location where you just allow yourself to be hurt and you become a victim in your own mind instead of the victor that you really are. And you start your own Victims Anonymous Club. And you pass out gold membership cards to everybody who pats you on the back and tells you, poor little baby, I so sorry they treated you like that. They're so mean people, aren't they? Yeah, and those mercy showers are enabling you to stay a victim.
Right.
And in what Jesus said is that in Matthew 24, after He said they become offended, it says there's betrayal, hatred, false prophets rise, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. You can read it. It's a downward spiral of people who become offended. Okay? Everybody say betrayal.
Betrayal.
Hatred. False prophets. Deception. Lawlessness. And cold love. And then Jesus said, but if you endure the temptation of being offended and don't get into all that, then you'll be used by me to get the gospel out. How many of you want to be used by the Lord? Then you're going to have to pass up the opportunity to stay offended. Right in the middle of that list. Right in the middle of that list, it says many false prophets rise. Do you want to know where false prophets come from? They come from the place of becoming offended. And when you become offended, then you enroll in the school of false prophets. And you unintentionally, unconsciously, but you enroll in the school of false prophets and you learn their ways of betrayal, hatred, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. I'm not nearly so concerned about global warming as I am about global chilling. Guys, I'm pausing right here. I'm sorry what they've done to you guys. I'm sorry how people have hurt you or whatever, but how many of you want to get into your future?
Yeah.
Okay, then you've got to choose, you've got to make a choice. You've got to forgive what that person did to you. And you know why people stay stuck and why they stay in offense? Because they're valuing their pain and loss greater than the cross. Guys, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it for anybody. I could share my war stories with you. I would beat most of you. Okay? But the bottom line is there's nobody. I pastored for 27 years, 24 in one place. We had a very successful church. Andrew came every year. And God began to speak to us. He had a new assignment for us. I was on the board of this large African ministry. We felt that the president was going to retire. And he finally asked me, and I felt like it was God. I became the CEO of this large African ministry. Everything grew, and money and partners and everything. And then I finally turned my church over to a son in the faith. And then 7 weeks after I turned my church over, and everything's going great in this ministry, the president calls me in and fires me. Good day. Wonderful day. I'm in my 50s. And now I can't go back and take my church over unless I'm like this guy, right? And I had to make a decision. What happened was Andrew Womack, I emailed him and he said, And he said, "Oh, Greg, don't worry about it." He said, "It's just a sign of an insecure leader, jealous of someone doing a better job than him." He said, "You need to take it as a compliment." I said, "A compliment? I need a job, man." I said, "Do you know any church that needs a pastor?" Anyway, but we had to. My wife and I, we have people that were so angry for us, they were going to go take this guy out. Seriously, I had some big North Texas bubbas, and they were going to. They were saved, but you know. Anyway, but I had to. No. Wait a minute. That's not the answer. The remedy is not yielding to the flesh. I'm not going to get into my future yielding to the flesh or trying to get revenge. Okay? I forgive him. And, you know, it took a month to, your pastor talked about this morning, getting the cares over on the Lord. And I finally got him over on the Lord. And I said, "Here's where I made the decision. That man's decision can't stop me from the assignment God has for me." 7 weeks after we'd got fired, I was sitting in Andrew Womack's office, and he offered me the job that I have today. And it's like, man, my books have gone all over the world. I pinch myself, okay? But I would not have moved into my future if I would have sued that man or sued that ministry. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Pastor sues Christian ministry. And I probably would have got some money. But I would have sentenced myself to something less than the future God has for me. Guys, I'm just telling you. And I didn't plan to spend this time on this. But someone here's stuck. And I'm sorry for what they've done to you. But what they've done, that person has done for you, is not greater than what Jesus has done for you. And if you're going to get unstuck, you've got to let that person go. Watch Frozen and just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Man, it's not worth it. How do you let it go? You value the cross greater than your pain and loss. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's going to be humble enough to say, "I'm going to let it go"? Amen. Praise God. All right. All right. Now, maybe I'll get to move into the rest of my message. But if that's all I got, that's okay. Getting you unstuck. Because God's got a future, man. He had a future for me. And it wasn't sentencing myself to live in regret and revenge. Singing with Paul McCartney yesterday, "All my troubles seem so far away." Or with Barbara Streisand, "The Way We Were." Guys, it's the best is yet to come. That's your song. Those people can't stop you. They can hinder you a little bit, but they can't stop you. Amen. Burn up your victim's card and your Victims Anonymous club. Just close it down. And say, I am not living my life in victimhood anymore. I'm a victor, not a victim. Amen. I'm not going to have the smell of smoke on me. And nobody can stop me. No one can stop me from moving into my future except me. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. What are you bringing forth? What are you bringing forth? So I have the airport in sight, okay? We'll land in just a few minutes. How many of you give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25? Okay, all right. So here's how you move into your... I just shared for somebody what I just shared because it wasn't in my notes. What I just shared is really your key. You cannot stay stuck in a place of offense. And how do you do it? I shared it. You have to value the cross, what Jesus did for you, greater than your pain and loss. I know. the Spirit of God's just ministering to me that somebody just got set free with that. And for someone here, that it's the person that you need to forgive is yourself. And you stop penalizing yourself. You can move into the future if you forgive yourself. Okay? All right. How do you move into the future? I'm four questions real quickly. What are you seeking? Number one, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? We read in Jeremiah 29:11, you know, God's got a future for you, but have you ever read verse 12 and 13? Jeremiah 29:11, verse 12 and 13, then you'll go and call upon me, pray to me, and I'll listen to you. If you'll seek me, everybody say, seek me.
Seek.
If you seek me with all of your heart. So seeking God means you lay, but here's what it means, guys. If you're going to come into the future God has for you, you have to lay aside your own plans. The slate's got to get clean. You got to wipe the slate clean of everything that you thought you were supposed to do. And God, I'm yours. I belong to you. Janice and I, when we got filled with the Spirit, we were talking to your pastors last night. We got filled with the Spirit in 1976. And it was like it's totally changed us. Look, I don't know how you really seek God with all your heart if you're not open to being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Why would you want less than the fullness of the Spirit?
Right.
And look, there are three baptisms. There are at least three baptisms. They're the doctrine of baptisms, not plural. There's the baptism in 1 Corinthians 12 is the baptism by the Spirit into the body when you're born again. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit baptizing you in the body when you got born again. Then there's water baptism. And then there's the baptism into the Holy Spirit by Jesus. Jesus will baptize us. There's another baptism God has for you subsequent to salvation. And it is so rivers of living water can flow out of you, so you can be a blessing to others, and so you can pray and have your own prayer language where you can draw up the wisdom of God from your spirit and discover your future.
Amen.
Discover what God has for you, so you can hear from God. Guys, this is not an option. Okay? Yeah, you get a spiritual language, but 1 Corinthians 14:14 talks about that spiritual language. When I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And so what it's doing is drawing up wisdom from your spirit. And why wouldn't you want that? Why would you want shoes without tongues? And why are you... Look, the reason why God chose tongues as a sign or a spiritual language as a sign that you're filled with the Spirit is because your tongue is the most unruly member. And when you yield your tongue to speak a language your mind can't control, it's a sign that you're yielded or full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you guys, in Proverbs 1:23, says that He poured out His Spirit on us and He made known His Word to us. That Bible was a dark book to me until I got filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want all that God has for you?
Yeah.
Why would you only want half of what He has for you? So I just, look, if you got to lay aside your own thoughts, your own plans. The pastor gave the word today about your thoughts or His thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Yeah.
And so if you're going, look, You cannot discover the future God has for you until you lay aside your own plans and lay them down. And then God, I'm yours. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything.
Yes.
And you got a plan for me and I'm not afraid of it.
Right.
And He's already told you it's a plan of good.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And man, I mean, what it means is new friends. It means new life. It means God, prosperity. It means you coming into all the things. It means healing. I mean, you got to seek God. Seeking God means you got to lay aside your own,
yes,
your own deal. You become a living sacrifice. I'm yours, God. Everybody say, I'm yours, God.
I'm yours.
See, you can be a believer and not a disciple.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can be a believer and not a disciple, but you're not going to receive the full, all the full benefits and inheritance that God has for you. Okay, it's everybody say I'm all in.
I'm all in.
All right, so that then it just takes seeking God. Okay, then number two is what are you seeing? What number one? What are you seeking? Then while you're seeking Him, what are you seeing? And I want to read these verses to you, Genesis 15. In verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord, everybody say, after these things. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, but Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And then basically what he was doing is saying, look, I've got a servant in my house, and my body's dead, and you know it's not working, and I'm willing to let the servant in my house be my heir. And then look at verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir. Then he brought him outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So what was he saying? Look, you got to get outside the press of the circumstances you're in and lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes from the place you are. Lift up your eyes off of the circumstances that tell you that the promise isn't going to happen. And notice now, he said, after these things. So what were those things? Well, those things were a lot of things that happened after God promised Abraham that he was going to have a son. And those things were, first of all, incomplete obedience. He only went two-thirds of the way to Haran. And then he took his family. He wasn't supposed to take his family. How many of you could identify with that? Incomplete obedience. And then he went into the land finally after his father died. And then it said he went on, you can read it in Genesis 13, he went on still into Egypt. He went on beyond the land. And then he laid his wife's neck on the line. And that's a father of our faith. Gives me hope. And then he came back and he had relationship conflict with Lot. Okay, then he had warfare and then he left money on the table that could have been construed as a bribe. And then he tithes to Melchizedek. After all those things, and then not only that, but the delay of promise. It had been 15 years now from the time of Genesis 12 to Genesis 15. And what did God say to him? No, boy, listen to me. Get your eyes off of the circumstances. Get your eyes off of your personal failure. Get your eyes off of the delay of time. And get your eyes back on me. What was he saying? The deal's still on. The deal is still on. And to you, seed of Abraham, after all these things, after COVID, after God's promised you something, and it's a delay of time. After you've screwed up royally, after you've messed up, or you tried to have a child in your own strength. After all these things, what is God saying to Abraham and to Abraham's seed? How many of you are Abraham's seed? Okay, if you believe in Christ, you're Abraham's seed. What is he saying? The deal's still on. The deal's still on. I said the deal's still on. But brush the dust off of that dream, off of that vision, off of that thing God's spoken to you. If you're still breathing, God's going to bring it to pass. God's able to bring it to pass. I said God's able to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your neighbor know, the deal's still on. Thank you, Jesus. What is it, guys? What is it that He's put in your heart? What is it that He breathed in you? Maybe when you were a teenager. Maybe when it was 10 years ago. I don't know, 15 years ago. Listen, if God spoke it to you, He's still well able to bring it to pass.
Amen.
And your mess ups, other people's mess ups, problems, even the delay in time, it's not going to stop it. What is He telling you? The same thing He told Abraham. Get out from the press of all that stuff and look back at me and realize I'm able to bring that dream to pass. The deal is still on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was worth the price of admission right there. Amen. What are you seeing? And then this is simple. What are you saying? What are you saying? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Many times we're hung by our tongue. What are you saying about what you see? What are you saying about what you see? Okay, are we saying what God said, or are we saying something else? And I gave you I shared with you earlier, and now we have landed. We have one more point, okay? But we're not up to the terminal yet. So just, all right. But I shared with you about my prodigal son, okay? For 8 years. Okay, look, maybe yours has been prodigal longer. Doesn't matter. God's able to bring them back. But I'm telling you, my son did everything he could to, and we're pastoring. And we're, you know, and all this. And remember I told you those that were believing for children to write some scriptures down? Now's your time to write these down if you're believing for children. Because the devil came to me many times and, what kind of father are you? What kind of pastor are you? I mean, my son was doing everything imaginable that the world does. I mean, he's partying, he's, you know, going from one girl to another, all kinds of stuff that you can't, you know, I mean, you can only guess. But the enemy would come to me, what kind of dad are you? What kind of pastor are you? And I said, well, Mr. Devil, while you're here, and I just, the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly while he's in the way. I say, yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. And by the way, you're the one that tempted him to do it. But while you're here, Mr. Devil, let me tell you the way it really is. Now, here's real spiritual warfare, guys. Let me tell you the way it really is. While he was accusing me, okay? Well, my children, Isaiah 54:13.
Yeah.
My children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Psalm 127:5. Isaiah 54:13. Psalm 127:5. My children will speak with their enemies in the gate. That means you, devil. There, you're going to rue the day you ever came against my son. He's going to take authority over you. Proverbs 6:22. When my son is roaming, the word is leading him. When my son is sleeping, the word is keeping him. When my son is awake and walking, the word is speaking to him. And the word of God's not going to return void. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, that God sends ministers to every man whereby they might believe. What are you saying about what God, what you're seeing? I saw my son serving God. I saw my son loving Jesus. I saw my son not that way. And I said what I saw in my heart, not what I saw with my physical eyes. And I spoke that over him. And after a while, you know, the devil's gone now. I mean, he's gone, right? I mean, he can't stay around that. And I'm telling you guys, the day came. The day came, because the next point is, where are you sowing? Where are you sowing? What are you seeking? Okay, what are you seeing? What are you saying? And where are you sowing? Because I sowed into other men and women's children. And we sowed, and I was sowing, just making disciples of other men. I met with this group of guys for 12 weeks, and I told them, My only assignment to you is you pray about someone that you can reach out to. So I was sowing into other men. Are you hearing me? And one of those men, his name was Donald, later became my children's pastor. He went after Brian. And he started taking him hunting. My oldest son started the prodigal. Started taking him fishing. Took him out to eat. I cooked for him. Did all kinds of stuff. And in 3 months' time, my son turned around. And he started coming to church, and he met his wife. And today, you would not know it. He's a godly leader. He loves his wife. Great husband, great dad, and serving Jesus. I'm telling you guys, what if you sow, okay, into other people? Because what you sow, you'll reap. You sow, okay. But what? Look, it's what are you got to start seeking? If you're going to find your future, you got to seek God. And then what is he revealing to you? What are you seeing? And then what are you saying about that? Not what you see with your natural eyes, but what do you see in your heart? And then you've got to begin to sow toward it.
Yes.
Amen. Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And guys, that's not just negative, it's positive. Look, how many of you need healing in your body? Okay? All right, here's your assignment. Here's your assignment. Go give it away. You go find people to pray for. You sow healing. Well, I can't do that till I'm healed. Who says? Look, if you were lacking financially, what do you do? You give, right?
Right.
So if you're not feeling well in your body, you go give healing away. And as you sow, you'll reap. Guys, we pull up to the terminal now, okay? This is how you get into your future. This is how you do it. And God's got an amazing, amazing future for you. And He's not done with you. I know God's spoken to some people here who've really kind of, you know, looking on the past and singing with Paul McCartney yesterday. And God's saying, get your eyes off of yesterday. I got a future for you. And I just shared, look, if God can give a new assignment to John at that age, he's not done with you. And I've just shared with you how to get into your future. How many of you desire to move into your future? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you God spoke to that you're gonna let that person go? You're going to let that person, you're not going to let that offense go. You're going to let that offense go. How are you going to do that? You're going to value the cross greater than your pain and loss. How many of you determine that you're going to stop agreeing with what is in the natural, but you're going to agree with, you've got to find scriptures.
Right.
That was my book back there, Scriptures to Live By. You've got to find scriptures that God puts in your heart. And you speak, you war. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? It's the devil said, it's written. Jesus said, yeah, it's written again. Amen?
Yes.
And you give you stick the devil with whatever he's trying to steal from you. Listen, guys, I know. God's got such a powerful future for this church and for you individually. And he downloaded this message to me to help you move into your future. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank Him now. Father, we thank You. We worship You. We receive, Father, the Word. We receive, Father, everything that You've spoken to us. Father, I'm asking You to just bring it to our remembrance in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Now, put your hands down. How many of you know that you're born again? And if you die tonight, you go to heaven. Lift your hand. Is there anyone here not sure about your salvation? If you died tonight, you're not double dog sure that you're saved. Okay? You want to be sure, and you're not sure. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Okay? What about you are sure, okay, you know you're born again, but you've just been basically living your own life, doing your own thing. You haven't really come into God's plan. and you want to do that. If that's you, just lift your hand right where you're at. I'm not going to hurt you or anything. All right. Praise God. All right. Now, how many of you have not yet been filled with the Spirit where you have a prayer language? Or maybe you were filled with the Spirit, but you haven't been praying in your spiritual language or in other tongues. It's in the Bible, guys. I didn't write it. So you don't need to be afraid of that. But if you haven't received that, now's your day, because it's going to draw up the wisdom of God. If that's you, just lift your hand. Praise God. Amen. All right, we want to pray. Amen. We want to pray for you, okay, today. If you want to come, into your future. So I agree, Father, in the name of Jesus, with every person here. They're coming into their future. Father, you have a wonderful plan for their lives, but we only discover it your way. And we seek you, Father, and we're going to follow you. We're laying aside our own preconceived ideas. And Father, we lay aside all offenses, and we determine. I'm moving into my future in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, we're going to have prayer folks up here. And if you lifted your hand, especially to be filled with the Spirit, I want to encourage you to come up. I mean, we'll pray for you and you'll be filled. It's not a problem. It's not a problem to be filled with the Spirit. How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit? You really do. Okay, look up here at me. Everybody look up here at me. Everybody look this way. How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit? Okay. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Okay. All right, stand up if you want to be filled with the Spirit. All right. I want you to come down here. Y'all come on down here. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you, Lord. Y'all come on down. Amen. Y'all just line up just kind of in front here. Yeah, just across. Yeah, let's just across this way. All right. Anyone else that wanted to be filled with the Spirit? Okay. Listen, man, do you know God's so pleased with your humility? He's so pleased with your humility. And man, here's the deal. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a door to the supernatural in your life. It's going to open up all these things about your future. And how many of you are born again, though? You know that you're born again. That you'll know you're saved? Okay. All right. Do you know Jesus said, if you ask the Father, if a child asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a serpent, you're not going to get a scorpion, you can't get anything evil. All right? That's in Luke 11:13. So how many of you are going to ask, you're going to ask for the Holy Spirit? Now you have the Holy Spirit in the new birth, but I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the new birth of that Holy Spirit's a well in you. But now it's a rivers of living water flowing out of you. Okay? And if you want that, then He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And He said it's only for children. So if you're a child of God, right? So you can ask, and He won't hold that out. He don't hold that out on you. And then the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, you know what? I thought that was kind of weird, all right? But, you know, but that's what the deal is. The being baptized in the Spirit, it's a pride buster. When you yield your tongue and lips to speak another language your mind can't control, it's a sign you're filled with the Spirit. And so here's the deal, guys. God wants this for each of you. But when you receive this gift, He's not going to grab your tongue and move it. Okay? It said they began to speak. All right? They began to speak. So you have to begin to speak, and God will make a language out of it. All right? So just lift your hands, guys, and just say, Father, y'all pray for them. Father, just say, Father, I thank you. And I'm your child. And you said that if any of your children, just say that. You said if any of your children ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you would give Him to them. And that we wouldn't receive a serpent or a scorpion. We won't receive anything evil. And when they were all filled on the day of Pentecost, and they began to speak with other tongues. And so, Lord, I want to be filled. I ask you for the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled to overflowing. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost, Jesus. And I receive that now. And I yield to you. And I receive the Holy Spirit. And I'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. In Jesus' name.